Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. So we are in this series called Avengers Endgame. And what we've been talking about is God's endgame for us. God has a plan for us. God has outcomes that he's looking for in our life. Characteristics he wants us to have. Impact he wants us to have on this world. There's authority he wants to give us to use to change things. And so God has a personal endgame for your life. Somewhere he wants to take you. But he also has an outcome for us as a people. You know, when we read the Bible, when we look at the story of God, all the way back from Adam and Eve, to the Israelites, to the disciples, to Jesus, and what happened past his resurrection in Paul's life and the early church, we continue to see this end game that God is playing out. That's consistently told through the story of God, where he's trying to take his people. Little Easter eggs that he puts in scripture through people of outcomes he wants us to have even today. And so we're looking at what God's end game is for our life. And last week we talked about holiness. God wants us to be a holy people. And we talked about what holiness is, because we think of a lot of things when it comes to holiness. But holiness is not so much about being set apart from the world, but as much it is being set apart for God. Holiness is about taking everything God created and using it in its created purpose, for its created function. And God commands us to be holy. Holy as he is holy. And we talked about how holiness happens. It's not instantaneous. Holiness is prepared for. Holiness is prepared for, and then it's lived out. And so last week I challenged you to begin to prepare for holiness, to be able to be in prayer with God, to listen to his voice, to become attuned to his spirit, to be in worship and to be in scripture and to learn about him and to apply it to your life and to live it out, not only on your good days, but your bad days. Because we don't get a pass on our bad days. We're required to be holy as God is holy every day, every moment, all the time. And so we talked about that. And then this week, I want to talk to you about something different, a new end game for us. God's end game is that we would be a people of faith. Not only does he want us to be holy people, but his end game is also that we would be a people of faith. Now, that's probably not a huge surprise, right? Nobody just gasped. I don't see anybody taking any notes yet because, yeah, I get it, all right? Yeah, we're supposed to be people of faith. It's kind of basic, being people of faith. But I've asked you this question last week, and I'll ask you it again. I know it's a basic thing. I know we hear all the time in church or in the church culture where we should be holy. We should be people of faith. But again, if somebody came up to you off the street, if one of your family members asked you, hey, what's that faith thing all about? Explain to me, what does it mean to be a person of faith? What would you say? What would you tell them? What is it that you would describe to them if they said, I'm a person of faith. Tell me what that means. What is it that you would say? Well, let's break that down. I want you to walk out of here this morning with a great explanation and understanding of what faith is. So what is faith? If we just took the Webster's Dictionary version of faith, if we just looked that up, this is what we would get. Faith is having complete trust in something. That's what faith is. Faith is having complete trust. My daughter, she's started summer school, so this is a whole new thing, you know, and so she's a car rider, and so she's getting used to the whole jump out of the car, go where you're supposed to go, I'll be here at the end of the day to jump in the car, I'm not going into the building to get you type thing. And so, you know, I asked her this week because she's real nervous about it, and so she said, Dad, are you going to be here? Are you going to be here at 3:30? You know, it's 3:30. That's the time, Dad. 3:30. 3:30, I'll be outside. I said, yeah, I know. I'll be there. You're going to be here? You're going to pick me up? Yeah, I'm going to pick you up. Well, how do I know? How do I know you're going to be here to pick me up? How can I be sure? And I said, honey, you've got to trust me, okay? You got to trust me. I'm going to be here. Do you trust me? And she looked me dead in the eye and go, no, I don't. I don't trust you. And I'm like, well, tough luck. I'll be here. We'll see how this goes, you know? But, you know, some of you, all of our St. Louis faith was tested this week in game 7 of the St. Louis Blues. I mean, I don't know if you heard or not. We won. But, I mean, it was a little scary at first, right? Some of us, we had faith to the very end. Some of us were like, no doubt. It's going to happen. It's going to be fine. Some of us, our faith was a little tested. Maybe we doubted just a little bit after game 6, right? But, you know, for the most part, you know, we remain faithful and look what happened. I mean, CJ did this morning. He said, can we play Gloria and worship today? Would that be okay? And I said, no, you weirdo, we can't do that. And but I can't imagine what it was like in some of your houses because I know how excited you get. But you know, our faith was tested. But what did you do? You fully trusted that your team was going to come through. You fully believed. You held on to the faith, and the Blues came through. Now, that's just the English translation of the word faith. That's the world explaining faith. But Christian faith is even deeper than that. Christian faith is kind of even crazier than that. If we look at the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, I should really say it's not really a book, it's a letter that was written to the Hebrew people. And every other book of the Bible, we pretty much know who wrote that letter, who transcribed that, where that came from. Hebrews, we aren't sure. Most historians and most theologians, they say, well, this was written by Paul. It's very Paul-esque. It's got a lot of Paul language in it. And what a lot of people believe is Paul wrote this letter, and it was meant to go to the Jews and the old covenant law-keeping Jews, and it's a little intense. It's a bit offensive because they're basically telling them, you guys are wrong. Things have changed post-resurrection. You need to get with the picture. And so a lot of people say Paul probably wrote it, and he's like, this sermon is too intense. And so he stuck it in his drawer, and then somebody stole it and was like, nope, they need to hear this. And so they circulated it out anyway. And so it goes out to the people, but it's commonly referred to as the book of faith. Oh, and it talks about the heroes of faith that we see all the way from the beginning of God's story to where we're caught up in that current time. And so it gives a great explanation of what faith is. And I want you to listen to the author of Hebrews, who I'll just refer to as Paul because I think it's Paul, what Paul says here. He says, faith is this. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So in common language, if I had to break this up practically, this is what I would say. This is what Christian faith is. Confidence that what we hope for, what we hope will happen, will happen. But even if what we hope for doesn't happen, we are 100% convinced that God is doing what is best for us in the places we cannot see. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? Because you got to grab hold of this, okay? Faith is what, this is what I hope will happen, and I believe it will happen. Well, what if it doesn't happen? If it doesn't happen, then I'm 100% convinced, then God is just doing something better for me, something that I couldn't think up, something beyond what I had hoped for. I'll give you a real world example of this. This would be like, you know, my wife, she gets off at 5 o'clock. She's always home by 5:20. She always calls me like 5:02 on the dot, always calls me on her way home from work and tells me, hey, I'm on my way. This would be like if my wife didn't call me at 5:02 and then didn't show up at 5:20 and then didn't show up at 6 o'clock. I mean, what I had hoped for is that she would come home after work, that she would make it home safely, that she would be on her way, that she would call me. Let's say she doesn't do that. Well, then you know what? I have 100% confidence that she's just out there doing something better, that she's just out there probably doing something for me that's just going to make my life so much better, probably running to Starbucks, getting me a coffee, and she just didn't need to tell me about it because she doesn't need to because she's just going to surprise me like that. And so that's what that kind of faith looks like. Now, that's stupid because I would never do that. I'd be having a panic attack by 5:30 if I didn't hear from my wife. I'd be doing find my phone and wondering where in the world she is, and then she's going to get an earful for not picking up her phone. That's what's going to happen. Real world. That's pastor in the real world. But that's what faith is. That's the kind of faith that the author of Hebrews is talking about. Now, let me help you understand this, and you got to grab hold of this. This is very, very important, okay? This explanation of faith, this is not faith plus. This is not faith RX. This is not faith level 10. This is not faith Super Saiyan. This is faith period. This is baseline faith. This is faith. And so to say you have faith is to say I have confidence that what I hope for will happen, but even if it doesn't, I am 100% convinced that if it doesn't happen, God is doing what's best for me in ways I cannot see. That's faith, period. So to say you have faith is to have this kind of faith. This is not the epitome of faith. This is just faith. Now swallow that pill for a minute. Because how many of us say we have faith, but it looks nothing like this faith? But that's what faith is. That's what faith looks like. And just a few verses later, Paul says this about faith. He says, and let me tell you something, it is impossible to please God without faith. If I don't have that crazy faith, if I don't have that kind of Christian faith, then I'm not pleasing God. It's impossible to please God without that kind of faith. And so, spoiler alert, when we meet God, when we come face to face with God, this is going to be one of the things that he's going to judge us on. And he's going to look at us and he's going to say, did you have faith? Show me, did you have faith? Well, I kind of had faith. I believed for the most part that you were going to come through for me. Like, I believed for the most part it was going to be okay. And like, whenever I was fearful and what I had hoped would happen did not happen, yeah, I got nervous, but I kind of still believe. No, that's not faith. That isn't faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Now, it's just a little warning. It's just something we all need to evaluate. Something we all need to think of. How many of us actually have that kind of faith? But here's the encouraging thing I want to tell you too, is that faith is such a powerful weapon for your life. Faith is a superpower. I mean, with faith, all types of things are possible. Jesus explained this. When Jesus came, he sat down with people and his disciples, and he explained to them just how great faith is, how it's a weapon, how it's a tool to help us in life. He said this. Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. You need to have faith in God. And I tell you the truth, I'm being honest with you, I'm being real with you here. You can say to this mountain, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. I mean, just think about that for a minute. I know a lot of us have heard this verse before. We've heard this said to us. There's a lot of thoughts on this verse, but just for a minute, act like you've never heard it before. Jesus just told you, hey, if you want to, you could go outside and you could tell that mountain to jump into the ocean and it would move if you believed it. If you really had faith, that's just how powerful you could be. Let that sink in. The tool that Jesus just gave you, the idea that you could be so powerful, that you could have such an impact, that you have such an ability in this world to change things, if you would just believe it to be true. Now, some of us say, yeah, but I've prayed. I have prayed and I believed in it. But again, let's go back to our definition. Faith is what? Faith is what we hope will happen. But even if it doesn't happen, it's 100% convinced that God's just doing something better for me. That even though I don't understand it, even though it's not the way that I would do it, even though it's not how I would do things, it's 100% confidence that God is working in the background and doing things that I don't understand, and he's making it happen, and it's just better than what I could have hoped for. But you have this power in front of you. You have this ability. You could be moving mountains in your life if you would just have faith. Man, it's amazing. So here's the thing, for some of us this morning, for those of us who are Christians, I got to ask you the question, do you have faith? Do you have that kind of faith? The faith that's moving mountains. For those of us who are not yet Christians, for those of us who are just curious but haven't given our life to Christ, I want you to know that God wants to move mountains in your life, that God wants to give you these superpowers, that God has this end game for your life if you would have faith. But he cannot give you what you won't trust and use. God won't give you what he knows you won't use because you don't believe it, but you've got to believe in it. If you give your life to Christ, and if you have faith in him, not only will you be saved by faith, but you will be given an opportunity in your life. God will empower you and enrich your life in such a way that you will be able to move mountains in your life. But let me ask you the question. Do you have faith? If the answer is no, the answer is to fully trust God with your life and to surrender your life to him. If the answer is yes, I have a follow-up question for you. Where in your life can you prove it? If in your head right now you just said, I have faith. Yeah, I'm a person of faith. I have faith. Prove it. Prove it to me. Think over the last month of your life. Think over the last week. Last month is being generous. Think over the past time you've had. The last experience you've had. You tell me an experience that required you to have faith, and you had faith. Tell me of a time where you were bold, where you were brave, where you were so convinced that what you hoped for was going to happen. And then, but even if it didn't, you were just 100% convinced that God was just doing something in the background. Show me that you took a risk. Show me that you put yourself on the line. Tell me an experience you had where you put yourself in an opportunity that required you to have faith. Prove it to me. Because see, here's the thing, and this is just me talking, okay? This is just how I'm bent. This is who I am. This is why we planted this church. There are too many churches this morning who are full of Christians who know the lingo, who know the words, who know the word faith, and they can even tell you that scripture verse. They know it by heart. They've memorized it, and they can explain faith to you. But when you look at their life, there is no experience that proves it. There is nothing that they have ever done in this life that actually required faith. There is no time that they ever did anything without an assurance, without an insurance policy. And that's why the world doubts us so often, because we are big on talk, but talk is cheap. Prove it to me. Give me an experience. Show me the money. Tell me the story of the time that you ran across the hot coals, that you leaped without knowing something was going to catch you. Tell me the time that you had faith, and I'll believe you. See, James, the brother of Jesus, he knew this thing. This is not anything crazy. This is not anything new. James, the brother of Jesus, he picked up on the same thing. What's amazing about James, the brother of Jesus, is that he didn't believe Jesus was actually the Son of God until after he died. He was a skeptic himself. And then Jesus died and he rose again and he couldn't believe it. And then all of a sudden he believed and he became this leader in the church and he gave his life to the church and he wrote a letter himself to the Jews and Gentiles and it was circulated all across Asia Minor and it went across and it just kind of called people out, to be honest with you. It challenged people. And he saw the same problem. He said, you think you have faith? Prove it to me. This is what James, the brother of Jesus, said. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without action is useless? Gulp. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions? Remember that word? We went over that the very first week. There's a difference between good, there's a difference between bad, and then there's the third option, right with God, in line with God. Don't you know that Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith that had actions attached to it. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right, there's that word again, right with God by what we do, not by the word, not by the label, not by just saying it. It's the actions. It's the actions that put your money where your mouth is. It's the actions that are the proving ground. It's faith. Faith that's so important to our life, but it's the actions that actually make it real. So if James were here today, James would ask us a list of questions. If James were here today, he'd say, tell me, where in your life are you believing in God without reassurances? If you have faith, where in your life are you staying patient in the midst of waiting? If you have faith, where in your life are you hopeful when the statistics say there is none? If you have faith, where in your life are you taking risks? If you have faith, show me the actions, because it's your actions that authenticate your faith. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to show it. And he uses Abraham as this example. If you don't know the story, it's in the Old Testament. But God told Abraham that a sacrifice needed to be made. And so he told Abraham to take his son, his one and only son, which whom he had prayed for and hoped for a very, very long time. It's a great story that you should read. But God told him, you need to take your son, you need to take him to the mountain, and you need to sacrifice him, AKA, you need to kill him for me. And so he did. Abraham took his son to the mountain. He laid his son on an altar. He made his son build the altar with him. He had the dagger in his hand. It was raised up, and then God stopped him. And that's the example that James uses for faith. That's the example that James goes, you want to know what faith looks like? We all know the story of Abraham, which was commonly known back then. I mean, it was a story that everybody knew. Remember Abraham? Remember what he did? That's faith. That's not faith RX. That's not faith level 10. That's not faith Super Saiyan. That's not great faith. That's faith, period. Do you guys have that kind of faith? Because that's faith. Faith is useless without actions. He uses this example and he says, guys, come on, this is the kind of faith that we should have. This is the kind of faith that we should live out in our lives. We should live out that kind of faith. And you and I, man, we should be so hopeful. We should be so optimistic. We should have this superpower in our lives where we go out in our jobs and we go out in our community and we live these lives 100% convinced that God is going to do great things in our life. And if we would just work towards this end game, if we would be these people of faith, all the things we could do. If we would get out there and we would walk across the coals, we would leap without knowing it's going to be okay. If we would go out there and do the things we know we're supposed to do, when we hear that voice inside of us, when we feel God calling, when our passion starts to burn, and God says, you know what you're supposed to do, you just don't have the belief and the trust in me to do it. It gets in our way. It gets in our way and it stops us from moving mountains in our lives. But these stories and the story of God and the faith that Jesus clearly and practically explains to us that we have, it should empower us and it should enrich us and it should get us pumped up. I love, you know, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, you probably saw like a commercial or a trailer or something. But one of my favorite trailers, what they first came out with, it's just the Avengers in different scenes, different characters repeating over and over, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And then at the end, they all like put their fist bump in the middle and they all say, whatever it takes. I mean, it gets me jazzed. My kids, my four-year-old and my, or she's five now. She turned five this week. My five-year-old and my two-year-old, the first time I had to say that. My five-year-old and my two-year-old, they've watched the movie. They haven't seen Endgame because they can't make it through a three-hour movie. Oh, good grace. But they've seen clips. You know, they saw the little trailer that I made for church and stuff, and they've seen trailers and all that, different things like that and stuff. And even my kids, like as an adult, I get pumped hearing that music and everything, but my kids, man, they get jazzed. And they have like all these like costumes and stuff that they've gotten over time. And so Olivia, she'll get in the living room and she'll line Brayden up. Brayden will have his little Thor hammer and his helmet, and Livy will have like her superhero stuff on of like PJ mask or something else, and she'll say, "Dad, let's line up." And so we'll get like lined up in the living room and stuff, and she'll go, "Avengers, assemble." And then she wants to run out of the house. And so we like all run full speed across the parking lot, or like we've done it in the Aldi's parking lot. Looked really weird. But all of a sudden Olivia was like, "Dad, Avengers!" And I was like, oh, let me get my spot, right? I'm like, all right, go, assemble! And we just all take off. It's very dangerous. We don't do it when her mother's around. But they just get pumped, man, like seeing that. I mean, seeing like these superheroes, seeing these iconic characters. I mean, just go like, whatever it takes, we're going to go beast mode on this. We're going to do this, all right? I mean, even my kids get it. They watch it and they're like, yeah, we can do anything. Here's the thing, man. When you read these stories, when you read the story of God, when you look at what Jesus did, how he overcame death, how on his own, he didn't need a team of people to save him. He did it all by himself. And he conquered the grave and came back to life 3 days later. And he says to you, if you look at that mountain and tell it, get over there, it's going to get over there if you believe. When you look at that and you look at the story of God, how can you not get jazzed up for what God wants to do in your life? How can you not listen to that voice inside of you and go, this is what I'm supposed to do and I'm going to do it, whatever it takes? I mean, when we leave here today, we should feel so invincible. We should feel so strengthened. We should feel so empowered. We should feel so impervious. We should feel so mighty because the God of gods is on our side and behind us. We should line up here on stage after church and go, Anchored Hope, assemble, and run out of this building into this week and go do great things because God wants to do great things in your life. Amen? Does that not get you jazzed? Does that not make you feel like anything is possible? God has hopes and dreams for you that are beyond your hopes and dreams. God has an impact for your life that is so far beyond what you could even hope for. Yet how many times do what we even hope for doesn't happen because we don't take steps of faith? Because just like that video said, we don't jump on the wire with God. Because there's so many Christians today going to church and sitting in church, and God's going, do you believe? And we go, amen, I believe. Then jump on the wire with me, and nobody moves. And it's pathetic. It's embarrassing. And it's sad. Because people are missing out on a life that moves mountains. God wants to move mountains in your life. God wants to change your family history. God wants to do things in you that you don't even know how to do by yourself, that you don't have the strength to do. And he wants to do all that for you. He wants to give you that. But the question is do you really have faith? Do you have faith? Some of us, there are some of you, man, you're living a faith that's beyond my faith. I mean, there are some people in this room, man, you're doing it. I'm so proud of you. You know, I didn't ask them permission for this, so I'm sorry. But, you know, the Olsons, now, Carrie and Jacob, man, they're fostering three kids right now with plans to adopt them. I mean, just the things God has done in their life the last year. They just started coming to Anchored Hope a year ago. A year of faith. And what are they doing? God laid on their heart that they should foster some children who didn't have a family. They took in these kids. They gave them new names. I got to baptize one of them 2 weeks ago. Those kids' lives are changed forever. This morning as Jake and I were talking, one of them starts yelling out, Dad, 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 Dad. Jake's like, shut up. But it made me smile inside because that kid has a dad. The Olsons, that's faith. They got something to prove it. What do you got? Show me you're living by faith in your finances. Show me you're living by faith in your finances. My family, man, it's the same percentage every week, man. Plus and beyond, because here's the thing. In my life, where I'm at, my faith, I know that my life is better with 85% of my income in God's hands than 100% of it in mine. I'd rather live off that percentage and trust God than I would hoarding it all to myself and saying, no, I can take care of this. I can take care of this. Show me the money. Show me where you trust God. Show me in your career. Show me in your career. Show me in your life. Everybody's got a passion. Everybody's got a dream. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Everybody's got something they want to do. Then do it. Show me. Tell me the story of where you ran out there and you ran across the coals, where you jumped out of the airplane. Show me. Tell me the story. Show me where you had faith, knowing that this is what I was supposed to do. God told me I'm supposed to do this, and so I'm going to do it. Do you know it's going to be okay? Absolutely not. Are you scared to death? Yes, sir, I am. Then that's faith. That's faith. Show me you have faith. Tell me it. Man, you guys are sitting in a building that is the byproduct of my faith. You are sitting among people. The group of us who started almost 7 years ago in August, who had faith that this is what we were supposed to do, had no idea how it was going to turn out. This is our faith. This is the byproduct of our faith. Show me that you have faith. If you're a Christian this morning, if you claim Christianity, I challenge you, seriously, I'm not playing around, I challenge you, do something this week that requires faith. Prove it. Don't prove it to me, prove it to God, because he's the one you're going to have to answer to one day. Do something that requires faith. Show me you have the faith. Take a risk. Do something with no assurances. Put yourself out there. Get alone with God, listen to him, and ask him, what is it you want me to do? And then do it. Don't pray about it. Don't sit on it. Don't think about it. God, the devil will talk you out of it. Some of you know what it is right now. You're sitting here and you know exactly what it is you're supposed to do. If you let it go, you will get in that car, you will drive away, you will take your midday Sunday church nap, and then it will be forgotten by Monday morning. You got to go do it. Start laying the bricks right now. Now is the time. Do it. Take a risk. Be a person of faith. And for those of you who do not follow Christ, I just want you to know, God has an end game for you. God has an end game for you. And if you would just give him your life, if you would lay your life at his feet and stop trying to do things on your own, you can be successful in this life on your own. I'm not going to kid you, but you cannot be as successful as you can with God. God can put so many things around you. He's given you so many tools. And when you have faith in him, if it goes along with his kingdom plans, his mission, what he wants to do in this world, you will be undefeatable. You will be so powerful. The things he will help you to do in this world will be so worth it. And at the end of your life, you will live a life worth living. It will make you better at life, and it will make your life better. I believe that. Not easier. I'm not saying easier. I'm saying better. Because the God of gods will be behind you. The King of kings, the Almighty Lord, the one who raises from the dead, he will be with you and behind you, and you will have a life that moves mountains. And I cannot express to you enough how bad I want that for you. How big of an impact I'd love to see you have in this world, in this life, and the things that God wants to give you. I want you to stand this morning. If you'll stand, I just want to pray with you this morning. And the band's going to come back up and we're going to sing a song. But I want you to just to bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. We're going to pray. And you know what? For somebody in this room, man, I know God is talking to you. I believe you hear that voice. I know that God is inviting you to be part of his family this morning, to be a person of faith. So if, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, God, this morning I pray that we would trust in you. God, this morning I pray that we would trust that your son did die for our sins and that 3 days later he rose again. And God, even though there's no proof, there's no guarantee, God, this morning we believe that we are saved because we have faith. And this morning, if you want to put your faith in Jesus this morning, I just want to help you this morning. This morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. God, I have lived for myself. I have tried to do things by myself. But today, God, I give you my life. I'm stepping out on the wire. I'm trusting you. God, help me live a life courageous, hope-filled, a life of faith this week. God, empower me. God, give me the strength that I need, the wisdom I need, the courage that I need. And you know what? This morning, if you are a Christian and you want more than just to say you have faith, if you want real faith, I want you to pray this prayer with me. God, this morning, I give you my life. God, this week, I will step out on the wire. I will jump into the unknown. I will travel through the valley, and you will be my shepherd. I will live a crazy faith, devoted to you, empowered by you. And God, as you speak, I am going to listen because I want a life that moves mountains. If that's your prayer this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's looking. If that's your prayer this morning, if you've prayed either one of those prayers, I want you to just slip up your hand so I can be prayer for you this week. If that's you, oh, look at that. That's beautiful. That makes me so happy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, as you have heard our prayers this week, as you've heard us call out to you, God, I pray that you would give us faith, that you would help us to be people of faith, that we would leave here this morning feel so powerful, feeling so encouraged, feeling so full of your life, God. May your spirit just give us everything that we need. May we go out there this week and we live as courageous people. May our faith be something that people notice. May our faith be something that people notice a difference in us. And may it be something that draws them to you. And God, would we just be encouraged by you? May we seek you this week. May we hear your voice and may we hear your calling. Would you lead us to your end game in our life? And may we live this week as people of faith. Ah, we pray these things in your name. Amen. We're going to sing a song this morning that just solidifies what we've just prayed. And so this morning, I pray that you would pray this prayer to God. Let's sing together.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.